Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. So glad you could join us on this rainy Tuesday morning. From what I understand, the rain is going to stop, so hang in there. As is always the case when it rains, we can always look forward to that sunshine. Let's get today kicked off with some prayer before I tell you what is coming up for the on the program, which again is a really big program today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today we pray our prayer before a day's work. Direct, we beg you, O Lord, our actions by your holy inspirations, and grant that we may carry them out with your gracious assistance, that every prayer and work of ours may begin always with you, and through you be happily ended. Now we're also going to pray our prayer to end abortion. Lord God, I thank you today for the gift of my life, and for all the lives of my brothers and sisters. I know there is nothing that destroys more life than abortion, yet I rejoice that you have conquered death. I am ready to do my part in ending abortion. Today I commit myself never to be silent, never to be passive, never to be forgetful of the unborn. I commit myself to be active in the pro-life movement, and never to stop defending life until all my brothers and sisters are protected, and our nation once again becomes a nation with liberty and justice, not just for some, but for all. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I am Gary Zimek. By my side, as usual, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Parker.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Dave. How are you today?
I'm well.
Any problems getting in the rain and the darkness?
Yeah. There were some, road closures, and I saw a little bit of Doylestown by streetlight.
But you made it here. That's the important thing, and that's I'm glad to see it. Now, I want to let you know, today on the program, we've got a doubleheader. We have got some fantastic guests today on the program. Joining us at the beginning, right after the first break, will be Father Frank Pavone. He's the National Director of Priests for Life. He's going to be talking about the March for Life and also what we can all do to get involved in ending abortion. Father Frank's going to have some strong words, so I really hope you'll be able to listen to that. Later in the show, Raymond Arroyo will be here with us to talk about his life and association with Mother Angelica. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Again, we're really excited that so many of these top-name guests want to come on to Spirit in the Morning. We're going to keep doing what we can to bring you the best guests available. Tomorrow on the show, we have Dan Burke, the executive director of the National Catholic Register. Also in studio will be Matt Gambino, the editor of CatholicPhilly.com. He's going to be here checking us out, and he's also going to be sharing some of the great work that they're doing at CatholicPhilly.com. Bear Wozniak will be on the show on Thursday, and then on Friday, we're going to have some live reports from the March for Life. We'll have reports from Liz Ann Pando. She'll be on the bus with St. Hubert's heading down to the march. Liz Ann, of course, is the president of St. Hubert's Catholic High School for Girls. We'll also have Gabby Smith, the co-host of Catholic Community Radio in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Their morning program, Wake Up, she's going to be reporting with for us live, as well as Chris Bell, who is the co-founder of Good Counsel Homes. He's going to be down in D.C., so we're going to get you all kinds of perspective. Also, absent from the show, but hopefully he'll be able to call in, Dave Parker, going to the march.
Yes, I'm going to the march with St. Francis Cabrini on their bus.
Awesome.
Thank you, Gary.
So hopefully you'll be able to call in and give us a report.
Yes, we have to see what the timing is on that.
It's just such a powerful, Dave, you've never been before, correct?
Never been.
It is such a powerful thing. I have been there. I've witnessed it. It's so great to see everybody there marching for life, and I can't wait to hear your report. And then you can give us a detailed report once you come back.
Absolutely. Yes, I'd be glad to.
But, Dave, thank you for doing that. And again, Father Pavone will be talking later today about the importance of us doing what we can to get involved in ending abortion. You know, it's not just for the other people. And one day, and Father's really clear about this, I remember reading this on the Priest for Light website several years ago. One day we're going to be judged, right? And the Lord's going to say, what did you do to end abortion? I mean, let's face it, this is murder we're talking about. What did you do? That affected me. When I heard that the first time, I thought, you know, I need to do more. And I'm sure after hearing Father Frank today, I'm going to be inspired to do even more.
Oh, me too.
Because
yes.
It's very easy to say, well, yeah, you know, I'm busy, mm-hmm. I can do other things, mm-hmm. or make the mistake of saying, well, I'm just one person, what can I do?
Exactly. And sometimes we get complacent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to do that.
Right, right. And in fact, the theme of the March for Life, and we had Jeannie Mancini on a few weeks ago talking about this, the theme this year of the March for Life is the power of one person.
Yes.
What can I do? Rather than, you know, like, this is too big of a fight, I can't get involved, I personally need to stand up for life. And that's what this is all about. We're not trying to take anybody's rights away. What we're trying to do is stand up for life, to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, mm-hmm. right? And to support life from conception to natural death. That's what mm-hmm. we believe. It's God's job when life starts and when life ends. It's not,
exactly.
not our job.
Yeah. It's in a way, it's crunch time. You know, we hear about this throughout the year and over the years, and what are we going to do about it, folks? What are
right.
we going to do?
Right.
I mean, yeah, we can each make a difference.
Right, and that's the important thing to remember. We can each make a difference. That's one of our main themes on this show, not just for the pro-life cause, but in general. I can make a difference in life, and God expects me to make a difference. He's given me unique skills, unique talents, and my personality. He's given me certain tools that I can use to spread the good news to those around me. And He puts people around me. And, you know, in the days past, it was the job of the priest, the deacons, the religious sisters. It was everybody else's job. It was the clergy's job to spread the good news. But now it's all of our jobs. And actually, this was always the case, but there's a greater emphasis on this. The church is trying to teach us that we're all called to evangelize, to share the good news. My parish priest is not in my home. He's not in my workplace. Neither is my deacon. I'm there. And I can be that messenger to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around me. So that's what we try to emphasize on this show. It's our job. Let's get busy, right? And it's all good news. This is not a negative thing. It's all good news. We are blessed to be able to share in the work of the Lord, to be able to share His work with those around us. Now, with that in mind, as we do on the program each day, let's listen to what the Lord has to say. We'll look at the gospel. Today's gospel is according to the evangelist Mark, from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 31 through 35. The mother of Jesus and his brothers arrived at the house. Standing outside, they sent word to Jesus and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." That's a powerful gospel.
Very powerful.
Dave, sometimes we can, or we've heard this interpretation, people will read this and say, "Well, look, see, Jesus is de-emphasizing his mother. That's why the Blessed Mother is not important." There is no way that Jesus is going to make his mother look bad. He was an obedient Jew. Mm-hmm. He's not going to violate one of the commandments, of course, which is to honor your father and your mother. But instead, what Jesus is doing here, and it's very simple, because you have to look at the whole of this passage and really get it. What he's saying with is, you, Dave Parker, Gary Zimak, everybody listening to the show, everybody, you are part of my family.
Mm-hmm.
It's not strictly a biological thing.
Mm-hmm.
You are the adopted sons and daughters of my Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
And it also reminds
and
us
powerful.
That, right, if we do the will of God, then we are part of the Lord's family. We're part of the Lord's family no matter what, but honestly, if we're living up to that call as an adopted son and daughter of Christ, then I'm going to be doing his will. What is his will? Well, first, to share the good news with those around me and to love one another. And that's oftentimes the challenge. Sometimes we get a little overzealous with sharing the good news, and if somebody doesn't agree with us, and you see this in the pro-life movement, so we have to be careful. We're pro-life, and we want to present this message, and we want to speak out against abortion. But we have to understand that some people on the other side, they might not fully get it.
Mm-hmm.
I was on that side at one time. I have to be honest. I didn't understand just how evil abortion was. I didn't understand that it was really murder. I know, call me stupid maybe, but I just never thought about it. Dave, I never took the time
mm-hmm.
to really understand what was happening.
Yeah, I understand. Yes, a lot of us were in that boat. And as we grew and mature, and as the Holy Spirit touched our hearts and souls and, mm-hmm. and started our awakening, so to speak.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we need to always be mindful of, that not everybody's that aware yet. So if they maybe don't understand it yet, you might have to go a little slowly. Certainly you want to educate them, but don't get angry. Don't use bad language. Don't make fun of them. I mean, we see this, unfortunately, we see a lot of this on social media. God's very patient with each one of us. He was incredibly patient. He still is really patient with me. So as a result, he expects me to be patient with others. So we can pray for that grace to, yeah, do his will, to proclaim the good news, to speak the truth, but always do it with charity. We don't want to be beating people up to spread the good news. That's not what Jesus did, and we need to be careful about that. So this is a great gospel. It reminds us that we are all part of the family of the Lord. We have the same Heavenly Father. We have Jesus as our brother, and we've got a common mother. And that's our Blessed Mother. I'm so glad that Father Don Calloway was on the show yesterday to talk about the power of the rosary and to talk about the power of Mary's intercession. You know, we don't worship Mary as Catholics. We absolutely don't worship Mary. She is not divine. She's human, but she's the mother of Jesus. She is the reason that we have a Savior. The Lord God, our Heavenly Father, sent the Savior, His Son, to us through the Blessed Mother. So we've got a great blessing there. When we turn to her, she's going to bring us more closely to her Son, Jesus. And by the way, that gospel that I just read is linked at spiritinthemorning.com. I recommend you take a look at it later on. Ponder upon it. Let the Holy Spirit enlighten you. Say, Holy Spirit, let me know, what do you have for me from this gospel passage? And then take it from there. Then put that into action as you go throughout the day. Now, remember, coming up on the show, when we come back from the first break, we're going to have Father Frank Pavone from Priests for Life. He's going to talk to us about the importance of getting involved in the movement to end abortion and to spread the good news about life, to be a person of pro-life, to be a person of life, and to spread the pro-life message. After that, Raymond Arroyo will be here to talk about his relationship with Mother Angelica. So we got a really busy show today for you. Right now, Spirit of the Morning Wake Up Time, 7:12. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for January 24th. Today we celebrate St. Francis de Sales. A father can wish his son might follow in his footsteps, but wishing isn't always enough. Francis de Sales was, in the eyes of his father, sure to be a lawyer and would take his elder's place as a senator from France. The young man studied law, but felt called to the priesthood. Francis, ordained in 1593, demonstrated special talents in preaching and serving the poor and sick. In the Diocese of Geneva, he was able to reconvert many of the Catholics there who had lapsed into Calvinism. He achieved great success through preaching and distributing small pamphlets he wrote to explain true Catholic doctrine. At 35, he became Bishop of Geneva. For his writings, Francis de Sales has been named patron of the Catholic Press. His works, filled with his gentle spirit, are addressed to lay people. He's also remembered for his collaboration with another saint, Jane Frances de Chantal, in founding the Sisters of Visitation. Francis de Sales once maintained he had a quick temper, but few saw evidence of it. His perennial meekness and sunny disposition have won for him the title Gentleman Saint. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end, His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that He brings, that there will be a place place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you always. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own. There has never been a step, but you've walked down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart, 'cause joy and peace he brings, and the beauty that's in store outweighs the hurt of life's sting. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more. No more pain and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you always. I've lived for our ways, we'll wipe away the sorrow that I face.
I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Welcome back. That was There Will Be a Day by Jeremy Camp. A reminder that one day all of the suffering that we experience in life, it's all going to be gone. All of the difficulties, all of the trials, all of the problems that we encounter, one day will all be wiped away. And sometimes on a bleak and dreary day, that's what you need to think about to get you by. Speaking of troubles and difficulties, we are having some problems connecting with Father Pavone. We're going to keep trying to do that. In the meantime, let me get you the current weather report for today. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, it's 37 degrees. Today, periods of rain with a high near 41. Tonight, cloudy during the early evening, then gradual clearing with a low around 34 degrees. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 53 degrees. Now, for anyone interested in going to the March for Life on Friday, the temperature, at least here, I don't have the forecast for D.C. I'll have to get that later on. We'll talk about that. But today, we're looking at sunny, partly sunny on Friday with a high near 44. I'll have to get a forecast for the D.C. area. But at least in this area, that's very reasonable for Friday. Currently in Doylestown, 36 degrees. In Malvern, 36 degrees. And in Riverton, New Jersey, we have 37 degrees. Now, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Spirit in the Morning. I am Gary Zimak, along with Dave Parker. We come to you each morning, 7 a.m. on Holy Spirit Radio. We are in the process of trying to get in touch with Father Frank Pavone from Priests for Life. We're having some technical difficulties getting Father onto the program. Certainly, if we do have a problem getting him on today, we will schedule him in the near future, because I definitely want you to hear his message. Mm-hmm. Later in the show, Raymond Arroyo will be joining us on the program. Now, I want to also share something. We've been talking, Dave, about this 9 Days mm-hmm. for Life campaign by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. It's basically a novena that we're praying for life. It started a few days ago, and each day, if you go to the website 9 Days for Life, 9daysforlife.com, you could find out information and get a list of the prayers that are recommended every day. And it's important to remember that prayer is crucial in ending this murderous scourge known as abortion, right? It's something that we should be praying about. But if you go to the prayers, you'll see a different set of prayers every day, and you can also sign up to have them emailed to you or to be texted to you mm-hmm. each day. Mm-hmm. Today's, essentially what this is I'm looking at today's recommendations for January the 24th. The intercession for today, for 9 Days for Life, is may those near the end of their lives receive medical care that respects their dignity and protects their lives. Now, of course, when we think of the pro-life movement, we obviously think of abortion, rightfully so, but pro-life involves more than that. We believe that all life is sacred, and that includes the elderly. That includes that the people who are dying at the end of their lives, that they're treated with dignity. Sometimes we don't understand why certain individuals are still alive, to put it quite bluntly. My mother has severe Alzheimer's disease. She's had that for many, many years. But you know what? It's up to God. My mother's been on a feeding tube for several years as well. She forgot how to eat. She doesn't know who I am. But each week, and several times during the week often, my sister will go over there. I'll go over to she's in a nursing home, and we'll visit her. My mom will laugh sometimes. She sees me. She gets happy. You know, we don't fully understand. I don't fully understand what she knows, what she doesn't know. But that's not up to me to decide. And that's what we need to remember. God is the author of life. And that's his job. So today in this novena, we pray for those near the end of their lives. And the prayers, an Our Father, 3 Hail Marys, and a Glory Be. There's a little reflection here. And then we have an act of reparation. And very simple things. Take time to write a handwritten note to someone who is lonely or needing encouragement. Read and reflect upon caring for loved ones at life's end. And there's a website here that we can go to check that out. And some other good information, too. So please, check that out, 9daysforlife.com. Even if you haven't started this in the beginning, know that there is always the availability to get started now. It's never, never, never too late for you to get started. Let's see what else we have here. I think that's it for now. But Dave, again, we're going to talk about mm-hmm. the March for Life coming up on Friday. You will be attending.
I will be attending. Yes. Excuse me, folks. And I was going to say, Father, if I can say something from my knowledge of Father Pavone, I mean, he is a giant in the, you know, in the pro-life movement. And I know he's very busy, and I think you were sharing with me, you know, how busy he was, Gary.
He just got back from California. I think he was coming back. And, in fact, I don't know that he didn't run into any weather-related delays last night. So
exactly.
It's possible he's still stuck at an airport somewhere.
Yeah. Yes.
I did not hear that, but we will continue to try to get a hold of him. But I want to share something. Father Pavone wrote a book called Abolishing Abortion, How You Can Play a Part. Excellent book. I highly recommend it. You can find out more information about that at priestforlife.org. But in the book, he says, and this is something I was going to ask him, he says this, because I think the question we might have is, well, what can I do to end abortion, or what is my role? I'm already praying. Is there anything else I can do? Father said this, many friends ask me, what is our first spiritual duty regarding the abortion issue? They think I'm going to answer prayer, but actually the answer is repentance. Now, Dave, this is mm-hmm. harsh, but listen mm-hmm. to this. Mm-hmm. The first step in abolishing abortion is to examine our own hearts and to repent of the role we each have played in allowing this Holocaust to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a lot of times we don't think that it's us, right? It's the mm-hmm. other guy. Mm-hmm. But Father, this is challenging. Listen to what he goes on to say.
Sure.
Often when people seek advice about pro-life activities, what mm-hmm. should I do, right?
Mm-hmm.
They ask me what they should do next. I start by telling them that they probably already know.
Mm-hmm.
Our sense of uncertainty rarely arises from not knowing what we should do. It arises from not having the courage to
mm-hmm.
do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's. I kind of mentioned earlier complacency. We get complacent. Mm-hmm. And yesterday after the show, I got down to daily mass at Cabrini, and Father Michael McCormick gave a great homily on, because this is the week going into the pro-life march.
Right.
It was, and he alluded to Archbishop Chaput has written some really good material about the pro-life movement to that point. So
yeah, and this this is important to remember that this is the week of the March for Life, and we're all called to do something. Now, continuing on with what Father is saying, I really like this. I want to expand on this a little bit. He says sometimes we ask a comparable question. And it refers to the, I'm highlighting here, he talks about the parable of the Good Samaritan mm-hmm. in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. And he says, sometimes we ask a comparable question. If I speak up too loudly about the victims of abortion, what will happen to me? And again, that goes back to that. It's a hard word, but cowardice that we all experience sometimes. What will happen to me if I speak out against abortion? And then he refers to this parable of the Good Samaritan. And Father Pavone says, the Good Samaritan came along, and he reversed the question. He didn't ask, if I help this man, what will happen to me? He asked, if I do not help this man, the man who had been beaten by the robbers in the story, what will happen to him? And that's the question for us, Father says. If I do not address this evil of abortion, what will happen to the unborn? Mm-hmm. I think that's a challenging look at this whole issue. Not what will happen to me if I speak out. Not is it inconvenient for me, but flipping it around and saying, well, what will happen to the mm-hmm. unborn
exactly.
and those who can't speak for themselves
exactly.
if I do nothing?
Exactly, yes.
And that's where it gets personal.
Yes. And then when we come to meet our Maker, as it were, we're going to be asked, what did you do for me to the least of our brethren? And in this case, the unborn.
Well, and that's a question that I don't want to have to answer that, Dave, and say, well, I was too busy, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't up for it that day, Lord, or for that year or whatever.
I didn't want to impose my religious beliefs on somebody else. I mean, that's not a
good. I didn't want to feel discomfort, a little, you know, going out of my comfort zone. Yes.
Yeah, so that's why, that's the question for all of us to ponder. And in case you're just tuning in, Father Frank Pavone was supposed to join us today by phone. We're having some issues connecting to him. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to try our best. We have Raymond Arroyo coming up in the second half of the program. I'm going to try my best to get him on sometime this week. It's going mm-hmm. to be difficult. It's the March for Life, busy week, but I'll try to see what we can do if we can get Father Pavone to come mm-hmm. back on the show. Certainly not if this week, then in the very near future, because I want you to hear from him. He's very willing to come on and talk about the importance of getting involved in the pro-life movement. And if you haven't committed to going to the March for Life, maybe now's that time to check out your mm-hmm. parish. Maybe they have a bus going. Dave,
absolutely.
Your parish has a bus going?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
You don't even have to drive.
I don't have to drive. We can just kind of sit, kick back, and
right.
relax, and get to know each other and pray as we go, or whatever we do, you mm-hmm. know, and getting ready for the march.
So it's so powerful. I would strongly encourage you to do what you can, and that's to start out by marching for life. This is your chance. This Friday, Washington, D.C., we're going to have thousands and thousands and thousands of pro-life people, like-minded individuals who will all be there standing up for life. Please don't miss that opportunity to participate in the March for Life. See if your parish has a bus going, and then you'll be able to take a ride with the bus. You won't even have to worry about driving or parking or any of the other difficulties as you go and march for life. Dave Parker's going to be doing that. We're going to be checking in with some people who are at the March for Life. I'll be here holding down the fort on Friday. Coming up after the break, we'll be joined by Raymond Arroyo, who will be talking about his association and friendship with Mother Angelica. Don't go anywhere. Your time right now in Spirit of the Morning, 7:30.
I got the joy. I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit radio news update. President Donald Trump is reinstating a ban on providing federal money to international groups that promote abortion. The regulation, known as the Mexico City Policy, has been something of a political football instituted by Republican administrations and rescinded by Democratic ones since 1984. Most recently, President Obama ended the ban in 2009. Trump signed it one day after the January 22nd anniversary of the Supreme Court's 1973 Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion in the United States. That date is traditionally when presidents take action on the policy. It also prohibits taxpayer funding for groups that lobby to legalize abortion or promote it as a family planning method. President Trump's designee for budget chief goes under the Senate committee microscope today. The staunchly conservative Representative Mick Mulvaney is expected to be asked how the White House plans to tackle budget deficits. He's been a supporter of the House GOP's plan to cut back Medicare by turning it into a voucher-like program, but Trump opposes that idea. Meanwhile, the Senate Finance Committee meets today to hear testimony on Representative Tom Price of Georgia, the man selected to be health secretary. And a ruling by Britain's Supreme Court could slow the Brexit process down. The court ruled today that the government must get parliamentary approval before starting the process of leaving the European Union. The ruling raises hopes among pro-EU politicians that they will be able to soften the terms of the UK's withdrawal from the bloc. With this Holy Spirit radio news update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
When fear feels bigger than my faith, and struggles steal my breath away, when my back's pressed up against the wall, with the weight of my worries stacked up tall, you're strong enough to hold it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. This was not what I would have chosen, but you see the future no one knows yet. And you're still good when I can see the working of your hands. You're holding it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the trouble of this world for your peace inside my soul. Your
And that was Cast My Cares by Finding Favor. Just remember, cast your cares on Jesus, as St. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:7. Why? Because he cares about you. I'm Gary Zimek. Your time right now is 7:35. I'll tell you, Dave Parker, live radio, it's just a lot of fun. Now, we had two superstar guests today on the program.
Mm-hmm.
We had Father Frank Pavone.
Yes.
We were unable to connect with him this morning. And honestly, things happen. Father was traveling in from California. I believe he was arriving either yesterday or maybe early today.
Wow.
With the weather related problems, I don't know if there was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But we were unable to connect with Father Frank Pavone. If you can only see what's going behind the scenes.
We need
here.
That camera in here, Gare. Come on.
And so we will try to get him back later on in the week. We are awaiting now for Raymond Arroyo to call in. Raymond's going to be on the program, hopefully, to talk about his relationship with Mother Angelica. So, Dave, but you never know.
I was going to say, we've been casting our cares big time.
I'm casting,
in the last 5 minutes, folks. Giving it to the Holy Spirit.
I'm casting. Know. But as I mentioned about Father Pavone, we are going to try to get him on later in the week as well to come back on and talk about the importance of getting involved in the pro-life movement. In the pro-life movement, we're going to hopefully get Father Frank involved on, come back on the program later on. Right now, I do believe we are going to have Raymond Arroyo on the show. Boy, this has been a fun morning so far, Dave Parker.
Yeah.
I love live radio.
It's showing our agility to move in unspecified ways.
Our director of operations, Frank Eliason, I've never seen him move like this
in
the past. It's kind of incredible. Let me tell you, before we do bring Raymond on, a little bit about him. Raymond Arroyo, certainly one of those guys that needs no introduction. If I gave him the introduction he deserves, it would take up the entire rest of the program.
Yes, it would.
Raymond Arroyo is an internationally known award-winning journalist, producer, and New York Times best-selling author. As the news director and the lead anchor for EWTN, he is seen in more than 200 million homes on 6 continents each week and heard on hundreds of AM and FM affiliates and on EWTN's standalone Sirius XM satellite channel. He created The World Over Live, which is an excellent show, in 1996, which he hosts live each week from Washington, D.C. Now, you may not know this. Before coming to EWTN, Raymond Arroyo worked for the Associated Press, the New York Observer, the political columnist team of Evans and Novak, and he was a Capitol Hill correspondent. He is best known for his work with Mother Angelica, and for many of us, and this is something that is very personal with me, Raymond has helped us to get to know Mother Angelica and to really understand what makes her tick, and to really get an insight into her mindset and some of the struggles that she went through. So we are pleased that Raymond is going to be joining us today. I want to tell you a little bit of a story before we actually bring him on. When I was, now I've been in full-time ministry for 5 years at the moment. It's been an up and down struggle. Sometimes there are a lot of challenges. One of the most profound influences on keeping me going in my full-time ministry, when I made that decision to not get back into the workplace in software development, which was always my background, was reading the biography of Mother Angelica by Raymond Arroyo. And what I learned was that not everything always works out when you're in ministry, and just because it doesn't, doesn't mean it's not God's will for you. Right, Dave? Sometimes we're going to have these bumps in the road. Not everything worked out for Mother Angelica with EWTN.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, she was fought kind of tooth and nail. I mean, within, I hate to say this, but this is reality, within the church, they said, you know, what are you going to do?
Right.
Why are you doing this?
Right.
You know?
Right. So she had difficulties, and that makes me feel good. That made me feel good. And because of Raymond's book about Mother Angelica, I was able to persevere and continue in ministry. So I'm very grateful to him for that. And now, thank you, Lord, I do believe we have Raymond Arroyo on the air with us. Oh, the joys of live radio. Raymond.
We were having technical difficulties this
Raymond,
morning, Gary.
Hey, brother, you don't know how good it is to hear your voice this morning.
You're very kind. Well, and I'm delighted that you took consolation and found you know, answers. And mother's, you know, mother's example, it's amazing to me, the letters I get, the people who call, who, you know, lives were transformed by her story. So it goes on. Mm-hmm. And that I think is, you know, at the core of her legacy, who she is, who she was.
Yeah, Raymond, let me ask you, a lot of people certainly know of your association with mother, but how did that association come about? How did you first get involved at EWTN?
Well, you know, I write about that for the first time in this new, you know, it's the last book of my Mother Angelica books, I think. It's called Mother Angelica, Her Grand Silence. And it's really about the last years of her life. And in it, I reflect on, you know, how I came. And really, I was asked by a friend in Washington, D.C., who had a magazine to write a cover story about Mother. I had a background in print journalism, and I was in television at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought it might be a fun fit, so I went down to Birmingham. I met her, and we sort of hit it off instantly, Gary. There was no, you know, there's certain people you just click with in your life, and you connect with on a deep level, and we did from the very beginning. It was like this was, you know, my grandmother or you know, a surrogate mother, and
yeah.
She was like that from the very beginning and really persisted till you know, the end of our almost 20-year relationship.
You know what? That relationship was very obvious, that friendship that you had with Mother. And we loved watching you with her.
Mm.
And I especially, Raymond, enjoyed, and I want to thank you for this. After Mother died, that was a tough week. I know that was a very tough week for you to be
horrible,
on the air.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. You helped us all through that. We were all grieving together.
Yeah. I had written, I'd been working on this last book for a number of years,
yeah.
Compiling it and editing it and interviewing for it. And I wept over so many pages of that book that I had thought that I was cried out and, you know, and that when Mother finally went to her reward that I would be ready and, you know, we'd go on, we'd continue on.
Right.
It hit me hard, much harder than I anticipated. You know, but that's natural, particularly,
sure.
You know, to the rest of the public. Mother, you know, retired 15, 16 years ago. And, you know, they had the memories and they watched the reruns. But for me, you know, I would go see her at her monastery at least once a month. We spoke weekly. So she was, you know, a lively force still in my life. So, and that's what I miss most. I miss being able to call her, going to see her.
Mm.
Her presence. I mean, I feel it in different ways now, but... She was certainly one of the great lights of my life, and not only mine, millions around the world.
You know, I'm sure this is a difficult question to answer, but if you had, and I understand if you can't, you know, mm-hmm. come up with one thing, but if you had to say one, what would be the greatest lesson, if you could, that you learned from Mother?
Well, I think the greatest lesson for me, the one that I always, you know, am in awe of, and I look at her life, and the trajectory of it. And people go, oh, look, she built this network from nothing, and she had faith, and she moved forward. Yeah, she did do all of that. But that was not the core of who she was. She was not a media mogul. She was not a media czar. That's not what she aspired to be. She really, truly was a contemplative nun who had a deep heart and a mission for reaching every soul with the truth of Christ and with the truth of the gospel. That's what she wanted. That's what she worked and labored for. But the thing that most amazed me, and it carried on straight through her life, Mother was always searching, like a hungry child,
mm-hmm.
for what God was calling her to do next.
Mm.
And she used to always say, from the very beginning, when we started working on the biography and I began interviewing her, she said, my life is a testament to the power of divine providence.
Wow.
My whole life is a testament to divine providence. And what she meant by that, for those who might be unfamiliar with the term, is that God will lead you. God will open up opportunities. And if you're seeking his will, he will show you in his providence what he desires for you. Now, she would run like no one I've ever seen
mm-hmm.
because she lived in what she would call the present moment. Every moment was available to her. She was always on the hunt for where is God in this moment and what am I supposed to do in it? That was her constant footing. So that's why this woman who barely made it out of high school, you know, living in Birmingham, Alabama as a cloistered nun, dared to go and found a television network and thought she could do it. This is why she would embrace international opportunities and grow the thing. This is why a girl who'd never seen television got in front of the TV and really took it by storm. Mm. It was living in the present moment, always receptive to God's will. And, you know, I remember asking her many, many times, because I think this is a question, not only me, I think we all struggle with, you know, how do you know God's will?
Yeah.
How do you know what God is calling you to? And she used to always say, God's will is manifested in the present moment, in the duties and the responsibilities of the present moment. Yours is simply to recognize them and move, you know, without hesitation. That was her approach to life. And that carried her through the EWTN period. And when that ended, she had the stroke. She embraced that moment, too. And then she lived her last 15 years slowly deprived of speech, slowly deprived of mobility, and yet the spirit, the calling, the mission went on and on and on. Mm. And that was, you know, and it continues today, because ultimately it wasn't Mother Angelica's mission. It was God's mission for her. And we all have our own.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, you know, so that the takeaway for me has always been living in the present moment. And you know, she taught me something else. She taught me a certain fearlessness, Gary. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done a lot of very crazy things in my career and my life. That people go, well, why would he do that now? Well, why are you doing that?
Right.
You know, why are you producing, you know, a jazz album and a special for PBS? What does that have to do with anything? But, you know, why are you writing a children's series?
Mm.
Because these were inspirations that I felt I was called to. And but for Mother Angelica, I probably would not have gone down those paths or even attempted those things. But boy, I'm glad I did.
I'm glad you did, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, Raymond, here, let's explore that for a minute, because somebody listening is, so many times we are faced with these inspirations from the Holy Spirit. And we'll get an idea, and I do this all the time, and think, well, that's crazy. I can't do that, or that probably won't work. Mother didn't operate like that, did she? If she got an idea, she assumed that it came from the Holy Spirit, and she would run with it. And if it was not from the Lord, she believed that it would fall apart, correct?
Right. She would test it. She would run and test it. And this is sort of how I think, you know, you have to be. We don't know everything. We don't have the whole...
Right.
You know, we're not furnished with the map. We have a tiny little lantern that lights the next step. And sometimes not even that. Sometimes you have to just step into the darkness.
Right.
But she always felt... But there was a great line she gave me once that I actually put in one of the I think it's the Little Book of Life Lessons, which is her a collection we did right after the biography of sort of her spiritual guidance. I mean, if you want Mother Angelica as a spiritual guide, I thought this will be the way to sort of capture her, you know, her insights and thoughts on various... parts of our lives.
Hmm.
And so I interviewed her nuns, I talked to people who knew her well, who she had mentored, and we gathered, and then I pulled a lot of recorded material, and we sort of culled it together. And she told me once I get an inspiration, I never question it. See, I know myself, and I believe if God wants it, he has his plan. If you're following God, he never shows you the end. It's always a walk of faith.
Hmm.
Franciscan virtue is to follow the providence of God. And God's providence goes only as far as you go. Now, that's the scary thing about it. If you don't go, he won't go. And I've always loved that line.
Wow.
Because it's true. If you don't go, he won't go. He won't reveal his plan. He won't reveal his inspirations. He won't open up all kinds of pathways that you could never have imagined unless you take that first step. And that was Mother. She always took the first step. She was fearless in that. And I think we need a little more of that. She often said boldness should be the 11th commandment. I agree with her.
Mm, that is so powerful. And that's something that I try to do in my life. But, you know, here's the thing, Raymond. We are not advocating, and I'm sure Mother wouldn't advocate, that we just impulsively act on things without prayerfully discerning them, too, right? Mother
had this
great relationship with the Lord. She spent a lot of time conversing with him and running these ideas by him, right? She had a good relationship. She spent many hours in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, correct?
Well, this is something that people forget. They take her boldness alone, isolated. She was a contemplative nun. She prayed two hours a day before the Blessed Sacrament.
Wow.
She was marinating there.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, these inspirations, these ideas, this conversation with God was ongoing. A ceaseless prayer. She did it all day long. It wasn't just when she was in the chapel. So that was the animating force, I think, behind so many of these inspirations, and the thing that propelled them and propelled her. So, yeah, that's a prerequisite. You have to be attentive. And, you know, she also said, you know, you have to listen and watch for the Holy Spirit. That's not always easy to do.
Right.
If you're distracted, if you're wrapped up in other concerns, right. If you're self-absorbed. And you know, the other thing that I think is just a natural gift that Rita Rizzo, which is Mother Angelica's birth name, that she sort of brought to the game that is sorely lacking today. She had real passion. The woman had real passion. I mean, in addition to being a lot of fun, Mother Angelica was a hoot. She was hilarious, and you wanted to be around her.
Yes.
She was an attractive, fun person.
Right.
We are deprived of that, I think, in some areas of the church today.
Mm-hmm.
You find earnest people, good people, but that natural gift of humor, passion, sometimes it's all a little cold. And none of that draws people in. And I would argue, you know, half of what Mother's great gift was her personality. And, you know, and that's always, look, it's like any other, you know, story of a holy person you read, person of sanctity. Mm-hmm. They're not always easy to be around.
Right.
They're rambunctious, unpredictable personalities. They can take you in areas and into things you don't necessarily want to go, and in places you don't want to go. But these are the people that are necessary to move a message of truth forward into whatever time they occupy, whether it's the apostles. I mean, Jesus did not go pick learned, thought-of theologians to carry his message forward. He went to rustics. Mm-hmm. He went out to, you know, fishermen and doctors and tax collectors and, you know, roustabouts, because there was something there he needed and recognized. And Mother was more of that than the lettered class.
Yeah, and she had that incredible ability. I remember the first time I saw her, I thought, oh, my wife introduced me to one of her broadcasts, and I said, I don't want to watch this old nun. What could she have to say? But, you know, Raymond, she had this ability to speak directly to me and directly to the people. She got it. She understood where we were, and she had that great gift of being able to connect with each of us.
Well, she lived it, you know. Yeah. I there's nothing. I always tell people, you know, and look, I have friends in politics and people who run corporations, and I always tell them when they come to me and say, "Could you help me with this speech, or would you look this over?" There's no substitute for authenticity.
Right.
There's no substitute.
Right.
And Mother Angelica had lived a tough life, mm-hmm. so she understood abandonment. She understood physical limitations and infirmity. She understood being ill. She understood being overlooked. So when she looked into the camera and offered advice or counseled people in those moments, she was deeply connecting with them because she lived the experience. It wasn't a conceptual faith.
Mm.
It was a lived, what she called, nitty-gritty faith.
Mm.
And we need more of that. We need more nitty-gritty faith in the Catholic Church. It's all a little too gilded and choreographed,
yeah.
Predictable. The faith isn't predictable, and the Church isn't predictable, and Jesus was certainly not predictable. And we shouldn't be either. We should keep moving. I think when you're connected to the Holy Spirit as Mother was,
mm-hmm.
she had no option.
Right.
She was just, that was the fruit of that connection.
Raymond, I want to thank you. We have a few minutes left. I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join
us. Not at all.
Now, I hope you've got a new book coming out, the second book in your Will Wilder series. Would you come back and discuss that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I would love to have you back, Raymond.
Will Wilder, The Lost Staff of Wonders, comes out at the top of March.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a book for middle grade. You know, I say it's for the young and the young at heart, because I have so many readers who are not young. You know, I have older readers in their 40s, 50s, 80s, who bought it for their children or grandchildren and ended up reading it to them or read it themselves before passing it on. So it's kind of become a family affair, which is what I wanted. But, you know, Will Wilder is this great, adventurous 12-year-old kid who, you know, has a great heart, but like the rest of us, he struggles and tries to find his way. And Will has a supernatural gift. And in the course of these books, he is encountering relics and antiquities that actually exist. So I have spoken to tens of thousands of kids now who, you know, the world of relics and antiquities and this whole history they knew nothing of has sort of opened up to them. And in the second book, the staff of Moses goes missing, and you can imagine what happens to his poor town of Perilous Falls. Oh, but it's a real fun adventure. I've loved writing it, and more enjoyable to me, because writing is never enjoyable. It's always a bleed on the desk.
Right.
Meeting so many children and families, and you know, the honor of welcoming a young person into a world that you created is really a gift. Really, one of the most gratifying writing experiences of my life, really.
Well, Raymond, thanks for all you do. The best place to follow you online, RaymondArroyo.com, correct?
RaymondArroyo.com. And, oh, and I should tell your listeners, I'll give you a little secret.
Ooh.
My publisher just marked down the first Will Wilder book to prepare people for the second. You can get it on Kindle for $1.99 if you have the Kindle or, you know, device. You can read it digitally for $1.99. And then the hardback is, you know, discounted as well. So it's worth reading. It's a wonderful adventure for the family, particularly for the reluctant reader in your house. If you have somebody who, you know, might not be the greatest reader right now, I always say if you give a child a great story, they'll find their way, and they'll read. They'll want to read. And that's certainly been the experience of the last year as I've traveled. It's been amazing.
Definitely. Well, Raymond, thank you so much for joining
us
today. We look forward to having you on again, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you for your wonderful work and for having me on. Bless you all.
God bless you, Raymond. Raymond Arroyo joining us live from Virginia. It's so great to have him on to share with us about Mother Angelica. Well, we had an interesting show today. We had some difficulties connecting with Father Frank Pavone. We're going to try to get him on later in the week. Before we go off the air, I'm going to hit you with the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. I kind of like this one, Dave Parker. The Be Not Afraid Bible verse, which, by the way, all these verses that I read every day, they're coming directly from my new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. You have a different inspirational verse for worriers every day. Today's verse, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. On your own intelligence, do not rely. Dave Parker. It's very easy for us to not rely on our own intelligence, right?
Yeah. Really, but especially today, folks.
Hey, you know what? But the Lord has a plan. Even if we don't agree with that plan at all times, He knows what He's doing. So let's trust in Him. Let's take that first step. As Raymond said, that lesson he learned from Mother Angelica, if you feel an inspiration today, if you feel the Lord's calling you to do something, go ahead and do it. If you feel you're supposed to be getting involved in the pro-life movement or going on the March for Life, now's the time to do it. We so many times put off doing the things that the Lord's calling us to do. Make it a point to do that today. I want to thank you for joining us. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to be joined by Dan Burke, the Executive Director of the National Catholic Register. He's going to help us to understand prayer. How is it that we should pray? What's the point of praying? How often we should pray? Dan's going to break it all down for us. And again, I thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your patience with us as we work out some of the technical difficulties of doing a live radio show. Remember to follow us online at spiritinthemorning.com. As I always say, God is with you wherever you go. Turn around today and say hi. We'll talk to you next time. God bless.